You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood. Hey, Satellite Sisters, it's Liz. Happy Mother's Day. This year, we decided to put together a special package for you of two of our favorite interviews with mothers about mothering, about their mothers, about working with their mothers, about their relationship with their mothers. So here you go. The first one is Get in the Wayback Machine, our conversation with Julia Louis-Dreyfus in 2006, believe it or not. And she came on the show when we were running our most embarrassing mothering moments on our show when it was on the radio. And she shared her most embarrassing mothering moment, which, again, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Hilarity ensues, right? So we talked about that and lots of other things in her life. So you'll enjoy that. And one thing, at 2006, when we talked to her, she was doing a show we loved called The New Adventures of Old Christine. That show didn't last super long, even though it was great, but she did because she managed to bounce back and went on to do Veep, of course, which I could watch every day of the week. And also she has a fantastic podcast she does now called Wiser Than Me that just started its second season. So Julia Louis-Dreyfus, solid gold satellite sister. You'll enjoy this. Then we are resharing an interview we did last year with Connie Wang. And this was part of our Best Beach Bag Books episode in May of 2023. And Connie had just, it was publication date for her new memoir about her relationship with her mother, which was called Oh My Mother. And a really great conversation. She was very fun, very thoughtful. Her mother, Ching Li, actually helped her create the book. Very unusual relationship they had and conversation we had with them, with her. Now, one of the things I love about this is that there is an element of her story, which is about taking her mother to see Magic Mike. Now, you know, we have a story about taking our mother to see Magic Mike, and this would be the opposite of our story. So I think you will enjoy that. But then later she talks about how when she had her own first child, and it was during the pandemic, and her mother came to live with her and care for her newborn son, what went on in their relationship during that time. And I think a lot of you will recognize how complicated that time is for new mothers, and you have your mother visiting and caring for you. I know in this conversation, you can hear Julie and Leah and like, got it. So anyway, I think you will really enjoy listening to Connie Wang about Oh My Mother, but also all of the Best Beach Bag Books shows have great insights into women talking about their lives. So in the show notes, I am going to put a link to most of the Best Beach Bag Books episodes that we have published. So go into the show notes or go to our website, satellitesisters.com. And on the blog, we always have the show notes there. And you can download or listen to many of our book shows with many great interviews with interesting women. So there you have it. Happy Mother's Day to all who celebrate, and enjoy Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Connie Wang.
We're the Satellite Sisters.
We're the Satellite Sisters.
I'm Sheila Dolan here with my sisters, Liz, Leon, and Julie.
Monica Dolan is in Portland, Oregon.
Welcome to Your The Best Encore Interviews from the Satellite Sisters.
Baseball legend Cal Ripken Jr. Cal, thanks for being back today.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Former heavyweight champion of the world, an Olympic gold medalist, George Foreman. I love this book.
Thank you.
He, of course, is the 1968 Olympic gold medalist. Peggy Fleming, thank you for being on Satellite Sisters.
Welcome.
Welcome to You're the Best Encore Interviews from the Satellite Sisters. This is Liz. Welcome back to our series of You're the Best Encore Interviews. In 2006, we had the pleasure of talking to someone who remains one of my entertainment heroes, and that is
Julia Louis Dreyfus. Remember how excited we were when we got her book, Leon and Julie?
Yes. And now she's the president of the United States.
Yes.
She was the funniest woman on TV, and now she still is the funniest woman on TV.
She has only solidified that role. Anyway, when we had her on in 2006, it was part of a series that we used to do, maybe worth reviving. Who knows? We always did a pre-Mother's Day series on the air called Most Embarrassing Mothering Moments, where we had listeners write in or call in with some of the more heinous things they had done as a parent. Things that, thinking back, they probably should not have done. And prizes were awarded for this, though, people. So there was some benefit to the confessional. So Julia called in as part of our Most Embarrassing Mothering Moments series, and you will hear that she has a pretty darn embarrassing moment or two to share. But she had a new TV show just debuting at that time, which I also loved. Not that little Seinfeld thing. She was just debuting in New Adventures of Old Christine, another super clever show.
You know what? I missed that show the first time around. Again, because I was a working mother, so ironically, I like couldn't stay up to 9:30 to watch her show. But I saw it all in reruns. That show is so funny. Holy cow, that's a funny show. I grew to really love The New Adventures of Old Christine. So it was fun to re-listen to this interview now that I have seen all of the episodes and hear her talk about it right at the beginning of that series.
And you'll also hear her talk about the importance of her sisters in her life. So if there's any way to, you know, win our hearts at Satellite Sisters, it's to do that. Just talk about, she says, just hanging with her sisters gives her total strength. So
that's right. I mean, she says perfect weekend is you sit around, eat, drink, and hike. Who doesn't love that? Except for Sister Leanne.
Except for the hiking part.
I don't think she said hiking. I thought she said shopping. She did not say hiking.
Hiking, Leanne. She says hiking. Okay.
Well, you're about to hear. Does she hike? Does she shop? You be the judge. We're the Satellite Sisters. This is Julia Louis Dreyfus from 2007. It's our first ever celebrity star contribution to the Most Embarrassing Mothering Moments. What a thrill to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus on the show. Of course, you know her from Seinfeld, and you should know her from her new show, which is so funny, The New Adventures of Old Christine. Julia, welcome to Satellite Sisters.
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, this is fun for us. So you have two kids, right, Julia?
Yeah.
And how old are they?
8 and 13.
All right. So as you cast your mind back over your life as a mom, it's going to be hard to top some of the entries we've already had. There was the mom who sent her kids to school with frozen margaritas instead of an ice pack in their lunch bag, you know.
So see it happening.
You can see how that could happen in a busy house in the morning.
Yeah, there was a new mom that completely forgot her child's name when asked.
Yeah, couldn't come up with the new baby's name.
That's hilarious.
So you have a lot of experience in mothering, Julia. What is your most embarrassing mothering moment?
Well, the first I have to say, it's so hard to choose.
Right.
One distinct moment that comes to mind is when I was actually in labor with my first child, and I was in the hospital, and I was completely naked with that monitor around my tummy. And I got up to go to the bathroom, and as I'm walking, my water breaks, the door opens. The nurse comes in. I said, my water just broke. And I'm standing there with the monitor and the, you can imagine. And she says, oh my God, Elaine.
That was
an excruciating moment.
I can
it's see. A good look, the monitor, the water on the floor.
Very appealing.
And you must be, Julie, you were observing that Julia's just getting to the point where her kids are going to start to be embarrassed of her, right?
Exactly. You kept age where my kids told me when I was dropping them off at school, Mom, don't get out of the car. In fact, don't even stop. Just sort of slow down and I'll jump out of the car.
Have you started to experience any of that, Julia?
Yeah, I think I embarrassed my 13-year-old, actually. I have to be careful about touching him. He doesn't like, you know, I usually rub his head or sort of put his hair behind his ears, and you would think I was, you know, giving him shots or something, the way he recoils. I'm not, you know.
It only gets
worse. I'm definitely not cool.
One of the fun things about your new show, The New Adventures of Old Christine, is that it's basically about being a mother, right?
Yeah, it really is. And it's written by a mother of three kids. And that's the idea, is to really show what it's like, you know, motherhood, warts and all. That's what we're going for.
And we've all been there, right?
I've been there. My daughter's 23 now. And it's just, it was so, so rough for so long. And Julie, you told me that at 19, that's the magical age where they start being human beings to you.
Yeah, they sort of shape up. Here you go. Julie, if I could just tell you, maybe some of your friends have, you're entering the valley of death right now.
How delightful.
Yeah, I had two sons too. In fact, they become so snarly. You think maybe they've had some personality altering. But it's all natural. It's what they're about to be doing.
So from, you say about 13 to 19?
Ooh, those are rough. Yeah.
Yeah, those are rough years. But now they're nice. Now they just like to remind me. They're older. My kids are older, in their 20s. They just like to remind me about some of my weaker mothering moments.
So on the new show, you're a mom to a third grader, right? The first day of school where you refused to stop kissing him was funny. I could imagine lots of moms in that situation.
I like to kiss my kids all the time. My younger one is never, he's not, you have to get him just the right moment. But otherwise, I just love to kiss that kid, you know? Oh, God. Yeah. It's hard to give that up.
Yeah, I bet it is. We're talking to Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Her new show is The New Adventures of Old Christine. So you're also playing, obviously, the old Christine means there's a new Christine. Mm-hmm. You're a newly divorced mom on the show. I mean, you're married, but do you have friends whose marriages you've seen come apart that have sort of helped you figure out how to pull this off, the newly divorced mother?
Well, I do have friends who are divorced, but in fact, the show is written by Carrie Leiser, who herself is divorced, and she's got three kids. And her ex-husband is, you know, she calls her divorce the good divorce. And so this is very much, I mean, it's an exaggeration of, but it's sort of a loosely based on her life.
So do you think there are good divorces?
I think that there are better divorces than others. And I think that it's so commonplace now. I think that's in a strain, even though you don't wish divorce on people, of course. But because it's a little more common, perhaps that makes it easier.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
because when I was little, my parents were divorced, but nobody was divorced back then. And I definitely felt, it was unusual. You know, I felt weird because of that.
This is Sheila. I'm divorced. I've been divorced for 10 years. I think what happens is you learn so much about yourself when you are alone. Like when you're in a couple, I wasn't really sure of who I was. And over the years, you know, I've learned a lot about myself in that sense. You know, there is some positive in that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And also there's a situation, you know, what we're definitely trying to show is the people who are divorced who have the best of intentions vis-a-vis their kid. And so they really, really try to make the divorce work for their children. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who are doing that.
Though it's so poignant when you see Christine wrestling with the whole issue of being replaced by the new Christine, the younger, more beautiful.
Right.
That is, you know, I've seen a lot of women go through that. That is really a hard thing, even if you have had the proverbial good divorce.
Definitely. I can only, really rough, really rough. And the idea that, you know, trying not to feel threatened and all that. Jeez Louise.
There's a lot of good comedy in that, Julia.
I think so. I think it's very ripe for the picking.
Now, tell us about your sisterhood. Because you're, you know, we're sisterhood.
You're
at Satellite Sisters.
And I've got lots of sisters. And you guys work with one of my sisters at the radio. And I love being one of sisters. I have to say, I've got four sisters total, actually. And I just love it. It's such a great bond. Particularly now that we're older, you know, I mean, it's just fantastic. And we're all, you know, married and having children and all this stuff. It's just such a lovely bond. And we try to get together, me and my sisters try to get together once a year with my mom. And it's always, although this year, unfortunately, it sort of fell apart. But normally we do it on an annual basis, just us. And we just, frankly, we just sit around and eat.
Well, yeah, that's what we do.
Eat and drink, and then go on hikes.
and maybe shopping too. Doesn't that sound like a good weekend?
That right. sounds like the perfect sister's weekend. We try to work in some spa services, Julia.
Oh, yes, of course. I left that out. Uh-huh. That goes without saying. Yeah. Try to get a massage.
Yeah, we work our way up from the mani-pedi to full-on mud baths. Actually, the name of our company is Mud Bath Productions because the first time the five sisters all got together alone without any of the other people in our lives, we were in a mud bath in Calistoga, California, and that's when we created Satellite Sisters.
Oh, good for you. That's so fantastic.
That's what can come of a great sisters weekend.
I love it.
So what do you think you learned from your sisters or you get from your sisters that you couldn't get from anyone else?
I get this is going to be corny sounding.
That's okay. That's all right.
Total strength. I feel very supported and therefore kind of powerful when we're all together. And also, we all have a great sense of humor and we laugh like crazy. I mean, we can make fun of each other, but in the kindest way. And we also come from in our family, my grandmother was one of a bunch of sisters too. So we feel very proud of that.
You know, that's so fun.
That's exactly what our family is.
Too. Our mother and her sisters that's why we were together with all the sisters for all the holidays. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, we got to go, but this has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. You're the best. For more You're the Best Encore interviews or Satellite Sisters podcasts, go to satellitesisters.com or iTunes. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.
Call your satellite sister.
Call your satellite sister.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
for
chilling
sure.
there
yes.
with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free-for-a-year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SAD Sisters. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SAD Sisters at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea.
We are back, and I would like to welcome Connie Wang to the special Best Beach Bag Books 2023 episode of Satellite Sisters. And congrats, Connie, because it's your actual pug date.
Yes, it is. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yes, very exciting. How are you celebrating publication date?
Oh, try not to barf. That's really how I'm doing it. This afternoon, I think I'm going to go visit a local bookstore, see it on the shelves, and then go get dinner with my mother, Ching.
Oh, okay.
Very nice.
All right. Well, the name of Connie's book, as I mentioned already, is Oh, My Mother, A Memoir in 9 Adventures. And I think one of the things I really loved about this, Connie, is that not only is your voice very strong, obviously you're the writer, but so is your mother's. And I feel like I got an understanding of who Ching Li was in the world, not just who she was to you. And, you know, sometimes in mother-daughter memoirs, you know, that doesn't always come through. So what is it that you wanted us to know about your mother, Ching Li?
Yeah. Now, Liz, thank you so much for noticing that, because I did work really, really hard on making sure that I captured her spirit. At this point, you know, I've lived with Ching in my life for my entire life. So her nuances and quirks and her sensibilities are almost invisible to me. She just is who she is. But whenever I introduced her to someone new in my life, a coworker, whoever, they always leave with this impression of like, your mom is a strange person. They're like, a strange, a magical wow, like good way. But no one's ever like, oh, she's like, you know, just another person. And she's always insisted that she is a special person, you know. Mm. And not and like, I don't want to say it in like a narcissistic or egocentric way or anything, but you know, we've always in my family, all the women in our family are contrarian anyways, but she, Ching, is sort of amplified, taking it up to all the way like 10, 11, like everything about her, her style, her diet, what she likes, how she likes to spend her time, her sleeping habits, everything is just like abnormal in a way that is a positive thing. So I'm always going to be like, oh, my mom is just like a weird person. Maybe it's like her self-professing that she's just a strange person. As I get older, I know that it's deep into her bones. Like she is a singular person. And her personality just pops off the page, even when I'm trying not to amplify her personality, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. So, I mean, for a book about her, like, why not but lean in? And so I'm really happy that the world gets to be charmed by her and not just people in my immediate circle.
Hi, Connie. This is Julie. Can you explain the title, Oh, My Mother, exclamation point, with an exclamation point at the end?
Yeah. So at the very, very beginning, the working title that I had in my head when I was even thinking about this book is what was the Chinese translation of Oh, My Mother, which is Wodamaya. And in Chinese, you say Wodamaya when you mean like, oh, my God, or like it's almost like an expletive, but like it's a polite expletive that you use. And you say it when you want to say, oh, my God, it's like, oh, this, like something happened, you know, like there's a mistake that happened or you reach some sort of minor epiphany in your day. Oh, my God is a phrase you say over and over and over again. But in Chinese, it's not God. You say mother, which I say this in the book, but I kind of like it more.
Yeah, I like it, too. Yeah,
I might start using it. Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's the first person I think of when something happens, right? And I think that that's baked into, you know, I remember getting my ears pierced when I was 9 years old and just being so terrified in the chair. And the only thing I could say over and over and over again was, oh, my mom, oh, my mom, my mom, my mom. And, you know, she was just like, this is so funny. But it's the instinctual subconscious person that you always reach out to when something wonderful or tragic happens in your life. And so that was the name that I had in my head. I got to write about my mom and like, how else do I capture it by not saying, well, the Maya, oh, my mother, that kind of sums up our relationship, and sort of our history together.
I love that. Okay. So it's a memoir written in 9 adventures, as you call it. So it's 9 separate essays. It's visiting Disney World. It's wearing flip-flops at Versailles. It's spending time in China with relatives. But there's one that I have to start with because you don't know this about us, Connie. We also have a very notable story about our mother and Magic Mike. And
Yes.
And I would say that ours is pretty much the opposite of yours in a way, because by accident, we took our mother to see the movie. And yeah, I'll send you the episode where you can listen to the rest of the story. But your mother actually loved Magic Mike. Like Magic Mike XXL was one of her favorite movies, which she saw, I appreciated this detail, at the Eden Prairie AMC in Minnesota.
A few times.
Okay. I can tell you, Edna Dolan did not go back to that did not happen. But then you decided to take your mom to the Magic Mike strip show in Vegas. And this was all your idea. So why and how'd that go?
Oh, gosh. If I could only answer why. I don't know why. It was me never thinking that she would say yes. You know, it's like we like to sort of like egg each other on and we know each other's boundaries, but we always end up surprising each other. So I had been hearing about how much she loved Magic Mike for weeks and weeks at that point. And I also knew that Channing Tatum was putting on a sort of like live production of Magic Mike XXL in Vegas. And so we at my job at Refinery 29, we were thinking of ways to cover that story. And I mean, in those pitch meetings, like you're just throwing around like any sort of relationship that you have with the sort of the subject matter. And I was like, the thing I can't stop thinking about is how much my mom likes us. It's like, you should just take your mom.
Like, so that's even funnier that it was a magazine pitch idea. Oh my gosh.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and so I did not ever think she would say yes. And she said yes. So I was on the hook for that. But, you know, the thing about writers and writing is that, like, we're emotional puppies, I would say. Like, we're not so good at processing our own feelings and emotions and thoughts unless we write them down. And so I knew that this was a really, really awkward sort of thing that I had gotten myself into. And like, it was, you know, I can't even, like, to this day, I have trouble like talking about it out loud. But yes,
me too.
We really understand. Yeah. But I was like, if I put a deadline attached to this, if I get myself on the hook, and then if I force myself to write through it, maybe we can come to the other side and something nice will happen. So we ended up going, and I mean, I think she had a great time. She talks about it with a lot of warmth, and I think that when we came home, she was really, really thrilled. Just because like Vegas was really fun for her, like the actual stage show was pretty incredible. If like going with your mom gives it
so cringy. Yeah, it feels so awkward.
There is another layer of emotion that gets added to that experience because you're going with your mom. I kind of blacked out, not because I was drinking, but just because it was too much pressure for me. I barely remember the whole situation and event. But my mom did take a very long video of me when I got pulled up on stage.
Oh my God.
That was my fault. I like to wear this. Here's a big tip. If you go to Magic Mike and do not want to be pulled up on stage, do not wear pants. I mean, like, don't, like, obviously we're close. Like, if you wear a skirt, they generally won't pick you because you have to get twirled around and hung upside down and all these things. And so they usually target people wearing pants. And unfortunately, I was wearing pants because that's just what I like to wear. And so I was, yeah.
Well, that's a good tip for the satellite sister. And wear pants. Wear pants to Magic Mike XXL.
No, do not wear pants. Do not wear pants.
Oh, do not wear pants. I'm sorry. Do not wear pants.
Even if you're a pants person, do not wear pants if you don't want to get pulled up on stage. But I do have a video in case if I ever feel very masochistic, I can revisit and try to remember what happened to me that evening. But I will not be doing that.
Patty, is this your first book? This is your first book, correct?
It is my first book, yes.
And it's a memoir, and you use the nine adventures as your structure, which is really interesting. Why did you decide to do it that way?
Yeah, good question, Leanne. It's mostly because I'm used to writing in essay format. You know, I've been writing for 15, 20 years now at this point. And I write mostly for a digital internet audience, which means that, you know, the attention spans are a bit shorter, like the ability to hyperlink out and add more context and all of these like footnotes and things like that is part of like how internet writers write. And so the idea of writing a book was so daunting to me. The only way I could think of doing it was to cut it up into, you know, internet length feature sections, by the way, of nine discrete chapters that all had to do with one another. Obviously, it's chronological. It's the story of our lives. But each one of them is its own kind of separate essay. And honestly, like I am a newish mom now, but I am also like a very busy person. And one of the things that always brought me down about reading and books, and I love reading and I love books, is that it took me so long to finish a book because I would have to always go back half a chapter because I've would fall asleep as I'm reading it.
Oh, yes.
You know, at night.
We're familiar with that situation.
Oh my gosh, I know. So for a long time, I was so guilty about the fact that it took me so long to read books, and I'm a fast reader. And I'm like, if I could only write something that people could get through in a quick clip, if they could read a chapter at a time, bounce around if they wanted to, it doesn't really even matter. And like,
yeah,
it's digestible and accessible, but still feel meaningful. And I hope I did something like that. But that's why I structure the book the way it is. Each chapter, I hope, is a standalone of sorts. But it's also sort of a lazy thing.
Yeah, who needs to write that connective tissue? Yeah, whatever. Just blow through it. No one wants to read that.
Yeah, so the secret is it's basically nine internet feature essays.
Patty, has your mother read the book?
Oh, yes, Julie. She's not only read it, but she was the first one to see the proposal and the outline.
Oh.
After I finished each chapter, she was the first person to read it. She was the first person to give me notes and edits. She's read this book, I think, more than I have at this point. And so, like, I think that a lot of people write about themselves and their families kind of in isolation, and I totally understand why. It is a really, really vulnerable act to write about yourself and to write about the really important things that happened in your life because, you know, it's having gone through this process, I know how raw and exposing it can feel. And showing it to people who know you the best or profess to know you the best can be just a really, really, really big thing. But I couldn't imagine doing this without her input and without her collaboration, not only because she knows the process, like back in China, she was an editor of nonfiction. So she knows publishing. Yeah, exactly. So she knows publishing way better than I do. Of course, in a different era and in a different country, but I really, really valued her advice and her guidance on how to structure a book, what to go after, like, and you know, just like the mechanics of and the functions of writing a book. But at the same time, like, it's her life. The last thing I wanted to do was misrepresent her. And honestly, like, knowing what lay ahead of us and the process we would be going on together. And this was also in the middle of the pandemic when, you know, there's not much else to divert yourself besides mm-hmm. conversations with people, you know. It really gave us a list of talking points. For a long time.
Yeah, that's intense. That's an intense relationship.
It really intense process, really intense conversation. Sometimes like we veer wildly off the path and like, we are never talking about this thing ever again. That was horrible. but sometimes, you know, it cracks something open, and that's, those are the things that made it into the book. So yes, she's read it. She probably has memorized certain sections at this point. This is as much a book that she did as it was a book that I did.
Yeah. So, Connie, I met you at a book reading at BookSoup, where you were interviewing the author Soon Wiley, whose book When We Fall Apart we actually recommended on Satellite Sisters. And in the chit chat before you and Soon started, you said to him, he was saying that it had taken him 7 years to write his book. And you said, oh my God, you could never do that. And that nonfiction was so much easier. And, you know, I get it didn't take you 7 years, but it does seem like you mined some really hard things here. So, and the process you just described with your mother and cracking a lot of other things open, that doesn't sound so easy.
Liz, that's right. I think it'd be a disservice to myself and my mother to call it easy. It would also be a disservice to my husband, who he is definitely not like a main character in this book. But the only reason I was able to actually put words down is because he took over the childcare on weekends. You know, if I didn't have time to write this, like, I couldn't have done it. And so it's really shout out to Nathan Reese. he really saved my butt with this. One of the reasons why it didn't take me 7 years is because I didn't have 7 years. I think the process for publishing nonfiction is different from fiction. When you sell a book for nonfiction, you kind of sell an idea and then they give you a time limit. And they're like, go, like, this is your deadline. You have to finish by the deadline. And when it comes to fiction, from what I understand, for the most part, you kind of have to finish it and then you sell it.
That's true. Yeah, some cases, yeah.
This
is
Leon's life now.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, like, that feels really daunting to kind of work in the dark, sort of work at your own pace and only with your own internals, sort of like benchmarks that they, and then ask people if they like it. So working in an opposite fashion is much more sort of a comfortable, that process is much more familiar to me, just in the terms of like internet publishing. I pitch first and then I complete an assignment once it's been assigned to me. And I work really well on a deadline. But 1 year is not a lot of time, especially when that year also has to involve a lot of like mother-daughter sort of like self-done therapy. that it's like, you know, we scheduled conversations, but it made it also easier that she was living with me for big chunks of the year because of the pandemic, obviously. And I had a newborn at home. And so we were all sharing childcare duties.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to ask about that, because I'd say one of the most difficult essays was about you gave birth in sort of the peak pandemic times before vaccines were even available. You had an emergency C-section, and then you had a really hard postpartum experience, Connie, didn't you?
I did, Liz. I had my son, Mark, on September 11th, 2020, which I think...
That's my birthday, too.
September 11th?
I'm also a September 11th, maybe. So,
oh, my God.
Good luck. It seems like a bad omen, but...
I was like, it's my fault. I just kept putting it out in the universe. I'm like, it's as long as it's not September 11th. As long as it's not September 11th. And the universe was like, September 11th, I got it. Like, that will be the day. It was a very isolating experience, which honestly is like kind of good for me. I like when I'm going through tough things, my tendency is to sort of like hide in my hidey hole. So I was, I don't want to say thriving during the pandemic, but I was like, I feel like I am well equipped to do pandemic living. But you know, what I didn't realize about having a baby, nothing can prepare you for this, was that my particular experience, it was so high stakes, because you don't have any context and you don't know anything. You don't know what you can do to hurt or harm or sort of like mess things up, because it's like the first time anyone's doing this. But it's also incredibly boring, which is so good.
Yeah, it is.
Fascinating. It's so much more interesting later on. But for those first few months, I was like, I'm doing the same order of things and actions every hour and a half for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm like, I am caught in this sort of like loop, this like psychotic loop that I couldn't break myself out of. And that was, it was, I mean, when I say crazy making, it was really, really crazy making. You know, I look back on that time and I'm like, it, like people say, it's such a blur. It's like, you feel like you're in a dream. And it's like, yeah, that is the very generous way to describe it for me. But as
well, especially during a pandemic with all the extra isolation involved and concern and worry. Yes, that sounded super hard.
Yeah, there was a lot of concern. You're just like, well, we had a baby because we were so optimistic about the future. And then in my first trimester, I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah.
Sure, of our optimism. But, you know, I do think that having kids is probably one of the most optimistic actions you can take. And I really tried to focus on that. And now I can say like 2.5 years after I gave birth, I can certainly say that like he is optimism personified, you know? And I'm like, I'm so happy that I made it for those first few months. But Ching was there too. And it was interesting because she had quite a lot of help when she had me in China. Like raising kids and child rearing is really a family affair. And I think that that is the case for many countries and many cultures outside of America. But here, I think it was a little novel to have my mom here really doing it with me. And I'm so grateful that she was. Because during those stints that she left, I was like, I can't do this. This is too hard.
But having her there also, it provokes a major falling out. And, you know, I wonder how you make sense of that now. It's one of the darkest and deepest fights you have with her is during that time.
Yeah. And not to give anything away, but, you know, most of our fights between my mother and I are based off of miscommunication and misunderstanding. And that is in part because, you know, the language that we use to even speak with one another is not the same. You know, my dominant language is English and her dominant language is Chinese. And so there's a lot that gets misinterpreted when we speak to one another. And for the most part, and as we've gotten older, we have a lot of patience with one another to kind of try to approach all of those situations with trying to just assume the best intent, you know, from one another. But when we're in stressful situations, we assume the worst intent, and those miscommunications just get so amplified. That's a big blow up that happened when she was over. That was really just like it just went right into the heart of the exact things that make her sad and insecure. And the exact things that made me sad and insecure. And we just reverted back to the sort of like the worst of ourselves, you know? But I think the difference between those moments when it happened when I was a kid and as I was growing up, that we didn't have the tools or even the sort of like hope that things might get better. The difference is like now we know that things don't have to be that way. And so this is the first time that we've ever had a fight that big. And we came out of it by talking with one another. Otherwise, like, I think if it wasn't now, if we didn't have the tools and we weren't equipped, she would have left, you know, we would have not spoken to each other for months. But because we knew like that it doesn't have to be this way, it only took a couple hours for us to calm down and sort of then reconnect and re-talk and really get into the heart of like what our deal is, you know.
Wow.
You need to understand each other and then, you know, what we kind of understood about each other as not just a mom and daughter, but as, you know, as parents trying to understand how to parent, and as like women too, who, not to give the same thing away again, but like as women who really, really deeply want to be our own person, and not belong to anything, in a way that feel like limits, our freedom.
Sounds like there's a lot of lessons in that essay.
There's some Full House moments in there.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that sounds like a very special episode. I mean, that, okay. That, yeah. Geez, good. I mean, really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a couple women, we have complicated relationships with our mothers. Even if they're great, they're complicated always.
Absolutely.
Well, when they're trying to tell you how to raise your children, Leah, maybe.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, that's a situation that where everything is amplified and right. It's very fraught, and you're everybody's sensitive, and the baby's crying, right?
Right.
And you're exhausted, and you're leaking, and it's just,
those are,
There is some writing about the leaking, Leah.
Yeah,
you mentioned
that. Yes, there's leaking, weeping. There's a lot going on.
Yes, there's too many fluids from too many places.
Many fluids.
Well, I'm glad to be dry again. Let's put it that way.
Well, Connie, congratulations. Thanks. Really, thanks a lot for talking to us.
Yes, I love this discussion. Fascinating.
Yeah. Good luck with the book. And also, happy Mother's Day to Ching. Tell her we say hi.
I definitely will. It was such a pleasure to speak with you, Serene. Can I just say, like, to be able to have a podcast with three sisters is just like, I mean, you guys have had, like, this is the best. So much,
Connie.
Thank you. Well, happy Mother's Day to you too, Connie. So we'll have you back on sometime. Thanks so much for joining us today for the big Best Beach Bag Books episode.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz, my hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leon, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leon Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leon's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leon and then posts it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Liz, what a delight to talk to Connie. I'm so glad you were able to connect with her and have her come on the show. She was really interesting, really, really sounds like a fascinating book.
Yeah, it is. And it was very fun to see her. As I said, when I met her at Book Soup, she was interviewing another author. And they were really having fun talking to each other about their work and their culture and, you know, how they operate. And so I knew that she would be fun, good at talking about how she writes, but also that she had a juicy story at the heart of what she wrote about, which is her mother, Qing.
Yeah.
I thought it was so fascinating that her mother was an editor in China, that they're in the same roles, but in different countries, in different languages. And I really look forward to reading the book and learning more about her Asian American immigrant experience.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. I mean, that's what she writes about as a journalist. You know, she reports on race and culture. And so this is sort of a personal way at getting at a lot of the same issues that she likes to write about anyway.
I just always think like the mother-daughter relationship is so, it's complex and it changes over time. But the idea of sitting down and writing a book with your mother, I can't think of anything worse. I mean, we wrote a book about our childhood, our first book, Satellite Sisters, Uncommon Senses. But there was at no point did we ever fact check with our parents at almost anything. But we did let them read the book. Julie, that was your assignment.
Yes.
They did read the book before it was published, and they loved it, right?
Right. They felt like they both came out really well in the book. So they were pleased. Those were our mom's exact words. Yes.
But we did not ask for notes.
No.
So that, I mean, I just admire that.
Don't you think, Leanne? Summer brave.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is.
Hey, it's Liz with a reminder that, you know, it's really easy to stay in touch with the Satellite Sisterhood on many platforms.
That's right, Liz. For starters, we have a website, satellitesisters.com, where you can listen to all the podcasts. You also can read our blog posts, which include show notes. And if you want, you can snoop around in our bios and pictures.
On Facebook, we have a couple of options. The first is our Facebook page, where we post our news and all of our news shows. You just have to like that page so you get our posts in your feed.
And the second option is the Facebook group, aka the nicest place on the internet. That's where you can post yourself and interact with everyone in the group. You can share, you can comment, or you can just enjoy the vibe. And that page is private, so things posted in the Satellite Sisters Facebook group cannot be shared outside of the group. To join, you simply search on Satellite Sisters Facebook group and then click to join or follow. You'll get one or two really easy questions to answer. That's just so we can make sure you're a real person and not a bot. And then we approve you. Done.
We're also on Instagram, of course. You can follow @SatSisters. You'll see our posts there and get alerted to when we go live. And we're trying to go live more. In fact, we've been pretty regular on Fridays lately with a follow-up Friday. Individually, you can also follow us @LeanDolan, @SatelliteSisterLiz, or @JulieOldestSister.
And finally, don't sleep on good old email. Yes, that's right. We have a show email address. If you want to write to us, it's just hello@satellitesisters.com. We really do read everything sooner or later. So come on, Satellite Sisters, stay connected.